Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Red Men Weekly podcast, a show where we bring you the best clips from our Red Men Plus content from the last week or so. So, yeah, say it every time, but yeah, if you want to watch or listen to these entire shows in full over on redmenplus.com, do go and check that out. It's really, really awesome. It really is. And as the season is vastly approaching very, very quickly, get yourselves involved now. If you sign up today, get yourselves involved the entire season and come on hopefully a successful journey with Liverpool, fingers crossed, and Jürgen and the Mighty Reds along with us, and we'll have a good old time together. Right then, let's get into it. First clip of the day comes from the Bias Transfer podcast. That is the show where we take a little look, take our Liverpool glasses off a little bit and have a little look what's happening around the world of European football. It was Paul Machin, Dan Clubb and Sam Walker in for this one. So yeah, take it away, guys.
Chelsea mentioned the name just then, and Nkunku and Jackson have looked a business in pre-season so far, which I think they'll be encouraged by. Another team that needed goals added to that side. They've potentially got, it looks like, Alex De Sassi coming in from Monaco as a centre-half. There's a 19-year-old midfielder coming from Rennes, which the last I read was they're not sure whether they're going to loan him back out or not yet. They're still chasing Caicedo, but you know, 80 million has been getting knocked back for him at this point. Just seeing it, the highlights from the win over Fulham in pre-season, when you've got Nkunku there, you've got Jackson, Sterling has almost become the forgotten man, but what a player he is if they can get into a decent level. You know, well, who knows about Mudrick? I think he's a bit of a myth, isn't he? But you know, who knows? But you've got Chukwuemeka as well from Aston Villa. Seems like he's finding his feet. There's a team there. Potter's a good manager. He's got brilliant footballers. He should be able to mould that into something, but it's that unknown factor, isn't it, Sam? Of they've still got tons of footballers. He Poch said it last week. He's like, he said, there's been a good spirit in the camp. They took like 30 odd with them to America. He said, there's a good spirit, but that's not going to last because eventually you're going to be picking match day squads and there's lads who are going to be nowhere near it.
Well, yeah, they've got one game a week, and look, the cups are relentless. You know, when you're having a bad year, you get bad draws. If they get a Villa away, even Liverpool or City or United, their League Cup campaign could be over in September, October. That's the challenge that they've got. If they had a small squad, if they'd got rid of the players they've got rid of and just kept what they had, you'd have actually said, you know what, they can really get into this league season with, you know, a 17, 18 man core and, you know, push to get back in the top four, you know, have a title win. And didn't they win the league when they had no Europe under Conte, is that right?
Or maybe Mourinho. Like ninth year before.
Yeah, and they just went on it because they had one game a week and it was, you know, great for them. But I do feel like so much change. The starting lineup from the end of last year has been, you know, decimated. Mount, I know he was out the side of it, but Gallagher, Kovacic, Kante, gone. Loftus-Cheek, gone. He was starting games.
Havertz.
You know, Havertz, gone. he was trying to be well suffering for them. They had Ziyech, looks like he's gone. I don't know what's actually happening with him. Pulisic, gone. Yeah. You know, defence, Koulibaly's gone. Fofana's injured. Who else? Thiago Silva, is he still there?
He's still there.
Azpilicueta, gone. Kepa, benched. Mendy gone. Like, it's a lot of change. You're talking 60-65% of their first 11's gone. They've literally got Chilwell, James, Thiago Silva, Raheem Sterling. The rest of them, the whole midfield that was playing games last year, Jorginho in January, gone. It's just a lot of change.
The Kante thing, I know he's barely played, but obviously
when he was back,
he played, didn't he? Brilliant
player
every week.
Kovacic, class. Kovacic, yeah, again, really good footballer, and it's been, you know, been great for them. It's right. You're right. There's a bunch of things moving on. it being a new manager with it, it's probably no bad thing because, again, it's a fresh set of eyes, isn't it?
And it's you a get new team, kind of,
yeah, exactly. And he gets to be a bit like, here's the ones I want, soz everyone else. Although, what happens when one of those lads or two of those lads who are on the out are the ones who are on the fucking 8-year contracts? That's going to be, that's another thing that's a little ticking time bomb that's going on underneath the surface with them as well. But it's mad. I'm just looking back, looking across their squad here. Like, they've got, obviously, they've still got Kepa. I mean, the fact that Kepa's their main, they've
been playing some young lad, haven't they?
They've got a few here. They've got Gabriel Slanina.
I think he's the one who's been playing.
I mean, they've doubled down on Kepa. I know Mendy had a bit of a bad time, but I would stand by. He was the third best goalie in the league when he was. We played them in that League Cup final,
ridiculous,
outrageous,
The FA Cup final, by the way,
and I know they've got injuries to, obviously Wesley Fofana's got another injury, which is means they've been a bit short defensively, but I just go through the list. Fofana, Badia Shield again, signed him last season for big money. Levi Colwell, Trevor Chalobah, Malang Sarr, I don't know whether they've loaned him out. Thiago Silva's there. They've got a million left backs now, you know, they've got too many left backs, so they've got Chilwell and Cucurella, Lewis Hall, they're looking to, he's a young player who's quite highly regarded. They need to do something with him. Enzo Fernandez, Conor Gallagher, Chucky Mecha's mentioned, Cassaday, definitely. I heard him, Sterling, Mudzik, Hudson and Doyle, they got rid of him, but they want rid of him. Yeah. Achim Ziyech has mentioned, and Kunku, Lukaku's still a.
That's mad.
That's weird.
He's going to Saudi, and he's going to have to bite the bullet.
They've got Brozier as well. You know, he's now a year on from that loan at Southampton. Yeah. You know,
he had a big injury, didn't he, last year?
He's ACL, I think, wasn't he? He's a good player, by the way. Monday,
I think he's going to go, though, isn't he?
Mad though, so they're an unknown quantity. There's enough quality there that if he can just manage to ring fence what he wants and then keep out all the ones that you know might cause a bit of disharmony, I think they'll be back to challenging.
I don't know though.
Top four, yeah, maybe.
That to me feels like the exact polar opposite of what Mauricio Pochettino wants to do. Like, remember when he had Southampton, he had it all. He had his people, and you're right. He can do that, of course he can, but he hasn't done it yet. Yeah. And we're 2 weeks away from the start of the season. That we were bemoaning the fact earlier on that we're not quite sure who our six is going to be. They've got a lot more problems than that. Like,
not sure they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
100%. Yeah, and so when you sort of put it in perspective, you mentioned context earlier. In terms of context, this actually gives us a good positive light. But for me, it feels like, and this is why Pochettino to Chelsea was never a fit that made any sense to me in their current plight, because he doesn't work like that. No. That's not him. He's not that type of manager. He's not that cutthroat Mourinho Conte style. He's a very, likes to work with youth, likes to sort of develop and build a project. And he can't do that at Chelsea, to me. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. We'll quickly move on. Spurs, because I think, again, that's going to be Chelsea in the next month between now and the end of the transfer window are going to be very, very interesting. There just has to be, you know, they're either going to be sat on a bunch of unregistered footballers whose value evaporates, and then that'll mean January becomes like a, you know, there's just loads of players move. Whether they can hold their resolve on keeping older players to try and maintain value will be interesting, because even if they, you know, they've got reasonable value so far, but they spent £1 billion, you know, that's a huge deficit to claw back. Anyway, Tottenham, the Everton of the South, their owner is currently being indicted on insider trading charges in the US, which is just wild. Still no Harry Kane sale.
Looks like there's been a bit more news.
Flew today, haven't they? They flew to Germany today, representatives to
it
talk.
It looks like there's an acceptance now, doesn't it? It's going to happen.
Because that's a big one, isn't it, really? You know, that just, you need to make a decision on it. You know, you need to crack on. You know, if you're getting divorced, eventually you need to go and get somewhere to live, and you need to decide where the kids are going. It's not a comfortable conversation. The future's going to be hard, but the sooner you can get on with that, the more everyone can then start to get on with their lives. And Kane being drawn out, it does look like, and maybe this is like United actually just pulling the trigger on Hoyland, is that he was maybe holding out for, because we go back to, we've been saying it for weeks, Kane wanted to be the Premier League top goal scorer, but no fucker in the Premier League wants to buy Harry Kane. So it's now stick with Tottenham or also, go to Bayern Munich.
Also, from Kane's perspective, we're not dealing with Man United of 1995 to, or 1992 to 2010 now. We're dealing with Man United now.
Yeah.
going to Man United with Man City in this league, with Jurgen Klopp, with Arsenal coming up, doesn't win you anything. Last year they won a League Cup and they had the best draw ever.
Mm.
And, you know, fair play, they beat Newcastle in the final, but that doesn't happen 2-3 years running. So him staying at Spurs, they could have a fantastic draw in the Cup and get to the final. You know, they were in the final 2 years ago, weren't they, 3 years ago? So moving to United, he can get the same money at Spurs.
I think
United are more likely to qualify for the Champions League, but I don't actually think there's that much more chance of them winning the trophy with United and Spurs. So when you break it down, if you're going for trophies, it's got to be Bayern Munich, because you're guaranteed two.
Yeah, but I wonder
and
why.
And then maybe three, and then maybe four.
I agree. I think he'll go and accumulate some silverware. Hey, do that for a year or two, and then come back to England, maybe the world's changed. But it's the thing of, again, why have Spurs dug in for so long on this? And the thing is, Bayern Munich are quite wealthy, but they're not wealthy the way that Premier League clubs are. They're going to spend money that Chelsea have spent, or United have spent, or City, or whatever. And again, I just wonder whether they were just secretly hoping there was going to be another bid for Harry Sheikh and for their own coffers. And now it's a bit like, oh, well, nothing's happening. Yeah. We might as well just make this move. There's an interesting quote from Ante Postecoglou, who says, at the moment, in terms of ins and outs, there are no certainties hitting my desk. It's just the football world. I've been in it a long time. I wish it could be like my wife with Amazon, where we get deliveries every day. But I can't put one in and get it the next day, unfortunately. It's just the way of football world. So there's no frustration. Just keep working hard to try and get it done. I love that. I love the fact that, like, he's just let slip his frustration that every time he turns up, there's another fucking Amazon box on his
Chelsea, that, isn't it? Open this. Oh, another shirt. Number 75.
They've
got Maddison, haven't they? The goalkeeper they signed. Anybody else? They've signed Kulishevsky and Romero.
And they've been playing Richarlison, centre forward.
Yeah. Richie.
Kane goes there. I mean, they've then got a month to reinvest that money. It'll be 80 million quid and burn a hole in the
Europe, am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
So that's kind of also... Probably what you could almost go one in, one out there then, couldn't you? You could go and throw your budget at Ollie Watkins or someone of that ilk, do you know what I mean?
You know,
test Newcastle's resolve with Wilson.
You know, it would be interesting if someone has a punt at even Tony.
Yeah, well, that's another one. Yeah.
You know, when's he out till the new year?
I think so.
But
yeah.
There could well be an appeals process that drops that. It's happened before, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, yeah.
But that thing of like, his value is the lowest it's going to get, I think, right now.
Good shout.
And, you know, you're compromising half a
season
for
it. Yeah.
But, the other thing about waiting is, if Man United are spending £72 million on Rasmus Højlund, it does say, as much as we're kind of mocking it a little bit, that's who the next best of that type of centre forward is on the market at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So who are Spurs getting? You know, what are they? You know, you mentioned like Ollie Watkins sounds, but he's not Harry Kane replacement.
No,
he's a completely different type of footballer. Do they end up with like
Ferguson or Lukaku?
But the thing is, with the Brighton Ferguson and the Watkins show they have, is both of them clubs have been better places than Tottenham right now.
But it's that whole, do you look at it this year? Or do you think, well, actually, in the next 4 or 5 years, Spurs are more likely to be playing in a higher level?
And do those clubs have go-kart and tracks underneath the stadiums? Like, you know what I mean?
That's it, isn't it?
Project-wise, though, I think both Watkins and Evan Ferguson would be quite content. Certainly Watkins, given the way Villa
finishes. Yeah, Ferguson's a good shout, though, because Brighton's ceiling's there, we know.
And that's what Brighton do. That's the whole. We don't really know what Villa's model is. Yeah,
he had injuries last year, didn't he? He needs a full season in before he's... They'll so just holding on to a collector's edition or something. Give it another year. Just let it accrue a bit more value, and that's when you have the conversation with Vicks. And he'll be in no rush to move.
The old Spurs would have been all over Dybala, and the new Spurs it could be over Kudos. That'd be a good shout. We're just throwing well-known names. There could be another Højlund type around.
Thanks to Paul and to Dan and to Sam for that one. Right then, moving on, we had Transfer Insight with The Telegraph's Chris Bascombe. Chris Bascombe has been reporting on Liverpool for a long, long time. Real voice of authority when it comes to the Reds. He knows what he's talking about. He's got the contacts and all that kind of stuff. And Dan Clubb got him on the phone to talk about Liverpool's transfer window so far.
I was going to ask you, but you kind of touched upon it there. But obviously, recouped a lot of the money we spent on both Fabinho and Henderson. So I think, respectively, the fees are decent, especially given where they're at in their careers and what they did last year. Obviously, it's 40 million and 12 million for the pair of them. So interesting. But how we spend that money is obviously the next pivotal stage now. And the Romeo Lavia situation is clearly the one that everyone's talking about. Liverpool have clearly identified him as the player that they want to get. And you've reported that previously they were 50 million apart on their valuations of the player. And you've also said that there's going to be an improved second bid coming for Lavia. Where are we at in terms of that now?
Well, I think as we were just literally before I started speaking, the second bid has gone in. So I'm not exactly sure when the second bid went in, but it, you know, I kind of myself and Paul Joyce wrote yesterday that it was imminent. We were kind of like, I could have been yesterday, it could have been this morning. We don't particularly know when, but I think it's now been reported elsewhere that the second bid has gone in, and I've had, you know, that. That is true, that story anyway, put it that way. And so no, really, what Southampton's response will be, because the second bid isn't 50 million quid. So you'd have to presume if Southampton are going to be sticking to 50 million, that's going to go on a bit longer. And perhaps Liverpool are just going to have to draw the line and say, look, you don't think he's worth that money and you think somebody else is worth that money, you go and get the other alternatives. Probably seem a bit strange to take it as far as this and not sort of pursue it any further, but we just have to wait and see. I mean, we're getting pretty close to the start of the season now, and there's still no real dedicated number six available going into that first game against Chelsea. So it is decision time one way or the other, whether it's going to be him or it's going to be somebody else.
Yeah, 100% it is. And Jürgen Klopp was speaking earlier about sort of a worst kept secret that we are looking at options. We are trying to bring somebody in for that number six role. They also spoke about Curtis Jones potentially doing it, which I think was interesting, maybe in the short term. Because obviously, as we know, the season starts before the window closes. So something may drag on beyond that Chelsea game, as you mentioned. But just on the Lavia thing there, Liverpool are clearly kind of sticking to our guns in terms of what we feel the valuation of the player is. And we do that a lot, and we're perfectly within our rights to do so, as are Southampton in terms of their valuation, of course. So with the Southampton one, there's a lot of talk about add-ons and stuff like that. Do you think Southampton, would they be willing potentially to accept sort of a 45 plus add-ons, or do they want flat 50? Are you aware of that?
I honestly do not know. I mean, I think, you know, usually with these things, somebody puts a valuation on, somebody then comes with a few counter-offers. I mean, Liverpool were putting a £20 million valuation on Jordan Henderson not so long ago. They ended up taking 12. So, you know, obviously a lot of these things are, you know, negotiation positions, aren't they? I mean, maybe Southampton are just determined to stick to the 50 million, in which case you have to just make a decision, don't you? And it could just be that there are other players out there who Liverpool looked at as well and thought they're not really worth 45 million. And then if you've got to pay 45 million for Lavia or this other alternative, you might think, well, you know what, maybe we'll go back over to the fellow we actually wanted it. I don't know the answer to, you know, I don't know. Well, I mean, we know there are other names that they were looking at. I mean, you know, those are pretty well documented. I'm not quite sure how the valuations differ to what Lavia. I mean, it is a hell of a lot of money for a 19-year-old player, a guy who hasn't actually played that much Premier League football, really. It's a hell of a responsibility. But having said that, you probably are buying a player for the next 10 years. And I don't really know quite sometimes how they decide somebody's worth, I don't know, 41, 42 million, but not worth 50 million. I don't know. It's probably must be far more intelligent people than me who come up with the maths for these things. You kind of think, you know, if somebody's worth 42, because he's going to change the nature of your season, isn't he worth 50? But there must be some reason behind it. There must be some logic behind it. And it maybe it is just as simple as there are other irons in the fire. And if it's getting to a certain level and a certain cost, perhaps they just think, well, actually, it's better value to go to the other one who we thought might have been a bit too expensive. Maybe go for him instead. We'll just have to wait and see on that one. But obviously, these things are evolving as we speak. So by the time you put this out, it may have changed again. Maybe Southampton have accepted. I don't know. But I haven't got any insight into the workings of the Southampton board, unfortunately. So I don't know.
No, unfortunately not.
To be fair, Southampton are perfectly probably entitled. I mean, Liverpool are not the only show in town, are they, with Lavia? We know Chelsea looked at him in January, and they haven't signed Casido yet. So perhaps they're just wanting to play this little game of bluff until the final. What's the rush for them? If they've accepted he's going, they're probably just going to try and get as much as they can for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, they're perfectly in their right to do so. And they've also got that buyback clause with Man City now. Whether Man City next year even entertain that is a different question. But they know, or they've got an inclination anyway, that at some point next year, City could turn up with, I think it's 42 million or around the 40 million mark. And they'll get that for him as a minimum anyway. So again, they're perfectly within their right to sort of hold out for what they see as their valuation this time around. And in your piece recently, you mentioned that they see Lavia as the main transfer focus. And you kind of alluded to it there. Like, he's very young. He's very inexperienced still. What do you make of the whole Lavia sort of being the one that we're trying to get? Because to me, it looks like, you know, Fabinho's just left the club. Yes, granted, he had a really disappointing season last year by his very high standards. But he's a 29-year-old. Now, replacing a very experienced international 29-year-old with a 19-year-old teenager feels a little bit chalk and cheese to me. So if we are going to go gung-ho for Lavia and we do end up finding the agreement, do you think it's all in on Lavia without an alternative option as well, without a different option to come in? How do you see it?
Well, I think you do to get Lavia. I don't see any other midfielders coming in. I don't, but I agree. I, as you say, I do think there is certain elements of risk going from kind of one extreme to the other in the midfield. From, I think everyone was pretty much agreement this time 12 months ago that perhaps the age profile wasn't quite right. Going from that to an age profile, which is the other end of the scale, which it's exciting, and it certainly long-term wise, it looks as though it's going to develop quite well. But is it going to be ready to hit the ground running? I think that'd be a lot to expect. And I think that's something that really needs to be bore in mind going into the season, actually. I wonder where Liverpool are actually going to be. I kind of feel like this season could have real similarities to, if you like, Klopp's first full season, where it was, you had to be a little bit patient with it. You had to sort of see it evolve and develop a little bit. You know, maybe more like the second season, if you've been a bit more optimistic, where things had sort of clicked together, but he still weren't quite ready to compete for the title. And when you're talking about what's required to win a title these days, which is, you know, 90-plus points, I think it's going to be very difficult to do that this season. But, you know, we'll just have to see. But, yeah, I think that one of the things that Klopp said, which I did think was quite interesting, is, you know, I suppose there's this fixation on the guy who's going to be the shield for the back four. But to him, the shield for the back four starts with the attack, then all of the ones in the middle, and then, you know, and everything works in synchronicity. And it's not just the responsibility of a new number six anymore that was responsible for being, you know, Fabinho got a lot of stick start of last season. Really, he was just too exposed. I mean, there was no help for him at all. And I felt sorry for the defence a lot of last season, really. They were just left one-on-one so often. I mean, Trent was getting so much stick and there was hardly any protection for him at all. It was just him against the winger. And that's just not Liverpool. That's just not being the way Liverpool have played. So it all begins further up the field. And if everything's functioning up front, it may be. There was this quote from Klopp. I'm not in Singapore, but he seemed to say, like, you know, it should be the easiest job in the world playing number six for Liverpool, which I thought was quite interesting. That might allude to why he's quite happy to go for such a young, experienced player, because you might think you just want someone there to just mop up a little bit, because all the hard graft winning the ball back is going to be done by the guys further upfield.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, in the new system as well, with Trent alongside him, it actually made Fabinho's role a little bit easier towards the back end of the season, because he didn't have quite as much ground to cover, a little bit less responsibility as well. And I think the same could be said if it is Lavia that sort of slots into that role. If we're a better team and things are functioning better around him, you know, it should be lighter work for that number six, whoever it may be. And I do like Lavia. I sound like I was quite downbeat on him earlier. I'm not. I think he's a good player. I just have my reservations about certain fixtures, really. Not necessarily him being a six for Liverpool, because I think that's fine. It's just in certain games when you're not going to have as much of the ball against the better teams. I think he may struggle, essentially, because he hasn't faced much sort of high quality week in, week out competition, because obviously it's going to be Europa League added to it as well. It just feels tough to me.
The natural thing is it's you know, you're not buying the finished product at 19, no. Unless he's just some super. And if he is the finished product at 19, well, he's worth 50 million, and he don't even mess around, just pay it. But he clearly isn't the finished product. And, you know, even Fabinho, when he came in, it took 6 months for him to sort of settle. And you know, just the constant, we always say patience, you know, give some, nobody gives anybody patience, nobody gives anybody time. And that's the kind of, that is going to be what's required if it is him. And, you know, same with a couple of the other players that have come in, you know, and that's why I think it is going to be probably still a little bit of a transitional time. Albeit everyone hopes it's going to be, you know, not too long before it's all clicking again.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Thanks to Dan and thanks to Chris for that one. Right then, moving on. Earlier this week, Liverpool were linked with a move for Brazilian midfielder Andre. We wanted to get to the bottom of this one, so Dan went again online, found Emmanuel Luiz, the Brazilian reporter, who first spoke about Liverpool's interest in the midfielder a couple of weeks ago for our latest episode of Transfer Insight.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Redmen TV and a very special edition of Transfer Insight. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Emmanuel Luiz. Emmanuel, how are you doing? You good?
It's a pleasure to talk with you guys. And South American football with the Premier League, it's a brilliant combination. Brilliant combination. And we are talking today about André Trindade from Fluminense. In my opinion, he is the best center midfield of this generation in Brazilian football. He's a really, really different player. All right, he knows how to defend and how to attack. Mm-hmm. So, André to Liverpool, if it happens, it will be a brilliant thing. We don't know how André is still in Brazil right now. We don't know this.
Well, he could move very soon. You said there, if it happens. And let's talk about if it happens. How will it happen? Fluminense want to keep him until January. Liverpool might want him now. There's a release clause that needs to be paid, and you can pay more to get in now. What's the situation? What's going on?
We'll be really, really clear with you guys. I posted on my Twitter like 2 weeks ago about André's situation, right? Mm-hmm. I was the first in the world because I know guys who work directly with André. And the situation was this. Barcelona was the first club that showed interest in André. But because of situations of La Liga financial fair play, UEFA financial fair play, they couldn't make a move. Mm-hmm. So they went to Vitor Roque from Atlético Paranaense, right? This situation made Fulham look up to André. And Fulham talked with Fluminense. But André did not want to go to Fulham yet. His staff said, we can go to a bigger club, mm-hmm. you know? So they wait. Liverpool, 2 weeks ago, they send a guy, a scout, to Maracanã to watch a Fluminense game. And they talked with him, and I think Jorge Mendes, is the guy right now that is representing André in Europe, mm-hmm. right? And they said, okay, Fulham wants you and Wolves wants you. But we have the situation right here. Like, they didn't want, like, a guy to show right now, like, oh, okay, South American football. Because Liverpool wants a guy that is ready, right? Because Fabinho moved to Saudi Arabia. So they want a player that will play and will deliver, right? So they said, okay, we are going to look for a player, but we are looking at you. We are looking at you. So we have this Slavia situation, right? This Slavia situation that, mm-hmm. like in Brazil, we love novela. Novela is a kind of sitcom that's really, really, really long, you know? Okay. So Slavia situation, it's a novela right now because it's taking too long.
Mm-hmm.
So Liverpool said, okay, André, here's the deal. I have this for you. Do you want to come right now? André said, yes. I want to go. It's Liverpool. Goddamn, it's Liverpool. And they said to Fluminense, okay, we are going to make a move. But Fluminense is one of the favorites to win the Copa Libertadores. That is the equivalent of Champions League here in South American football. All right? Mm-hmm. Fluminense never won a Libertadores before. So André is the main character of this team. Right? So Fluminense said, okay, 40 million euros is the release clause.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys want André right now, you pay the release clause. Fulham wanted to pay 32, 34
mm-hmm.
million euros. But Fluminense said no. They said, okay, we're going to hold him. We're going to hold it until December.
Yeah.
But André wants Liverpool.
Okay.
That's the big situation.
Mm-hmm.
If I was you guys, I would see the game tonight.
Yeah.
Between Fluminense and Argentina Juniors in the round of 16.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the first leg. The second leg is on the 30th of this month, I think.
Yeah.
One day before the window close.
Mm-hmm.
If Fluminense is out, I'm saying to you right now, if Fluminense is out of Copa Libertadores, André will move to Liverpool.
Okay.
The situation is really clear. Fulham is willing to wait to get André only in January. Mm-hmm. Fulham is willing to wait. All right, Wolverhampton is looking at Olympique Lyon. They did a little talk, but they are not in the race. André wants to go to the Premier League. Right now, André has a private teacher that is teaching him English. All right, he will play in the Premier League. I'm saying to you right now, this is exclusive information. André will play in the Premier League, but he wants Liverpool really bad right now. He wants Liverpool really bad. I was talking with a guy from his staff that said to me, this Liverpool thing, he's shaking right now, you know? He wants Liverpool. He wants Liverpool. Will happen. I think, in my personal opinion, Fluminense will sell André right now to Liverpool, I think. But for 20 million, 80 million, to do a business like Gabriel Jesus did with Manchester City. You remember, Manchester mm-hmm. City bought Gabriel Jesus in July, but he only arrived in December. That was the Manchester City with Gabriel Jesus. I think that will proceed very similar with André right now.
Thanks to Dan and thanks to Emmanuel for that one. Yeah, keep an eye on André and all that good stuff. Speaking of him and indeed Romeo Lavia, another player being linked with Liverpool Football Club, I spoke about both of them on this week's Journo Inside Show with Neil Jones. Let's talk about André then, because he's the newest name on the thing. Obviously, the Lavia thing, we're expecting that fair bit to go in, but we'll see how that all pans out down the line. But André then, Fluminense, if you feel easy for me to say. Reports, I think Mel Reddy tweeted out and a few others as well, that Liverpool have made contact about a move for the Brazilian. ESPN Brazil have reported that Fluminense are in no great rush to sell him. They're still in the Copa Libertadores, and that basically, while they're still in that, they don't really want to. They drew their first game 1-1. They played the second leg on Tuesday. A lot of noise around this has been that maybe this is something Liverpool are looking to get done for the future.
Yeah.
There's also been talk that, you know, now is it Lavia, is it André, is it both? There's a this whole situation threw a lot of questions. What's your understanding of this whole situation?
Well, that's true that Liverpool have made contact with him, and obviously that a 22-year-old deep line midfielder, Brazilian international, you know, fee from a Brazilian club, you'd be talking less than 30 million. There's a lot to sort of to nod at, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I spoke to a couple of people who were familiar with Liverpool, sort of, in fact, not even Liverpool, just scouting in that area in general, and they say he's a very combative player, really good sort of bite about him, and, you know, got a good sort of good ceiling, really, in terms of, you know, as a defensive midfielder, or as I say, an all-action central midfielder. So it's interesting. I think the other element that comes out of it is obviously buying straight from Brazil, wouldn't it? You know, Liverpool don't really, probably Lucas Leiva, but the last player I could remember Liverpool doing that with as a young player anyway. They tend to like the pathway of let them test themselves somewhere else from South America, you know, McAllister and Diaz, Darwin Nunez, even, you know, Luis Suarez going back further. And then they'll make a judgment. But things have changed a little bit in the Premier League with the work permit rules. It's a little bit more relaxed. It's a little bit easier to get players like that. And I wonder whether you might see a few clubs at the top end of the Premier League starting to take a bit more of these gambles. You know, you look at traditionally, I mean, Arsenal have done it quite well with Gabriel Martinelli, City done it with Gabriel Jesus. But really, it's sort of Real Madrid, Barcelona tend to do those kind of things, don't they? When a big talent leaves Brazil, it tends to be for there or for Portugal or, you know, Atletico Madrid, somewhere like that. The Premier League, I found it a bit more difficult to get those kind of players, or have been reluctant to get those kind of players. So I wonder whether you might see a little bit of a change in that. Chelsea have got, you know, they've been raving about a guy they bought from Brazil, Andre Santos. I think they bought him in January, didn't he? That he looks like he might have a chance of being part of their team this season. So I think it's an interesting one. The mood music, if you like, is that, you know, they're reluctant sellers, Fluminense. And I think there's a lot of people maybe sort of a little bit of a side eye that, hang on, how's his name just emerged when Liverpool are trying to sort of make this bid for Lavia? Is there a little bit of a threat element going on? Don't reject the next bid because we'll go elsewhere. We've seen Liverpool do that before. I remember they were trying to buy Benteke, and I think there was they sort of threw out Carlos Bacca's name and Jackson Martinez maybe, and sort of said, oh, you know, we're not just in for Benteke, and lo and behold, all of a sudden, you know, Liverpool were buying Benteke. So I think there are legitimate suspicions around that, but Liverpool have definitely been in contact with Fluminense about them, and just to see if nothing else what the sort of state of play is with it. And as you say, ESPN Brazil reporting that they don't want to sell them until they're either out or have won the Copa Libertadores. So I think just want to keep an eye on. And when did you say the second leg is? Tuesday night, so yeah.
Did you do one all? And that was the horrendous game where Argentinos juniors, have you seen the guy who broke his leg?
Yeah, with Marcelo.
Horrendous. It's not a great game that comes in. But in the grand scheme of things with this one, again, when I first saw it, I thought, oh my God, this is just the most obvious smoking out of Southampton ever. That was my initial thought. But then it might not, you know, maybe that's just me being a bit pessimistic. Like, Liverpool probably do need two midfielders.
I was going to say, it could be both. That's the other aspect to it, because 22 and 19, there's sort of an element of, that would, you know, what we were talking about solutions, and I think I can remember having a conversation about Amrabat and saying that, he might be the one that you're sort of getting because you know what you're getting from him. He's obviously a very sort of specific type of midfielder, and you also get Lavia in with that developmental sort of idea to him, and he doesn't play every single game. Yeah. The only thing about this one is obviously we know Andre is a Brazilian international and is a good player, and, you know, he's played a lot of games for Fluminense, but you don't know how he just adapts to the Premier League straight away. You know, obviously you don't know with Amrabat, but he's been playing European football, he's been playing sort of that you know, intensity in that environment. So there's a bit more of a risk attached to it. But if you were to say that the two of them were coming in, you'd say, okay, that's not, you know, if you thought 70-odd million for those two, you know, I think you'd come away and think Liverpool have had a good go at sort of overhauling their midfield, wouldn't you? I think if it was one or the other, you'd still think there was probably one short.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on this whole situation with the DM? Are we thinking Lavia? Are we thinking Andre? Are we thinking both?
I think Liverpool need three signings. But I personally still think Liverpool need three signings. I think they need two midfielders and a defender.
Yeah. What's the mood music around that? The Liverpool centre?
Liverpool have not. There's never ever really been a figure. Yeah. You know, like I think, and you can understand why. There's obviously
because the second you put out there, we need four, five, and then there's
but also you put yourself in that sort of narrative of still too short, still one short, you know, that kind of thing. Liverpool, yeah. I think Liverpool were pretty happy with what they'd done early in the summer. You know, I don't think they were finished. I think there was one more definitely to come after Szoboszlai and McAllister. But I think obviously what's happened in the meantime, I think has obviously, you know, put a real spoke in the wheel. I think they need three more players. I think they definitely need two more midfielders. I just look at it and think there's too much risk attached to too many players in that midfield option. And however much you want to say, oh well, it's a lot of bodies and you can't play them all, and you know, this kind of thing, it'll soon change that situation. There'll soon be players that you can't count on. There's still, you know, we're talking about Stefan Bajčetić as an option. After a handful of games, we don't know yet what his second season looks like. He's had that initial burst. Can he build on that? We don't know yet. Like you say, Curtis, can he stay fit for the whole season? You've got Thiago, who's still there. Who we know he can't stay fit for the whole season. You've got Harvey Elliott, who I think looks a very, very good player. And I think he's an under sort of appreciated talent. But that's what he is. He's a talent. He's not yet the sort of player that you say, well, he plays every single game. You've still got two new players coming into the side, and McAllister and Szoboszlai. And look, they both look really good. And I think there's a lot of promise about them. But you've still got to accept that there might be some bumps in the road there. So it's not Liverpool's midfield situation is not sorted by numbers in the sense of, you know, it's not because they've got nine players or whatever they can play in there. Doesn't mean that everything's fixed. They've still got doubts and too many doubts around players that I still think they just need to really sort of sandbag it.
Yeah. No, man, would you? I think three's the perfect number. Like I say, one ideally before the start of the season, which would be a deal.
And obviously, look, I know that if Liverpool buy, let's say Liverpool buy Lavia and Andre and then try and get a centre-back in, there'll be people saying, actually, right-back as well because Joe Gomez or Tsimikas is not as good. I know that there'll probably never be the perfect scenario where you think they've done. But I think if they were to buy three more players and end up with have bought five players in the window, I think you could at least say about the club that, you know what, they've had a good go at sort of plugging the gaps and trying to lower the age profile of the squad and keep moving forward. I don't think you could criticise them. I think if they were to bring in three, you'd be saying that's negligent. If you were to say they were bringing in four, I think you'd still be in that situation coming into the end of the window saying, I think they're one short. I know, and there's been just a few of those little windows, hasn't there? Where I thought January was one where you're like, I think they needed one more there. They just needed that. You know, you look at that, obviously, the season of the pandemic where they didn't get a centre-back and it was the one short. You just don't want Liverpool to be in that position where, you certainly don't want it to be where it's too short. But even that sort of one, because Liverpool, let's not forget, last season, in amongst everything that happened, and how bad they were for parts of last season, they weren't that far away from being in the top four. No. They weren't, you know, they were 2-0 up against Real Madrid in the last 16 of the Champions League. You know, at that point, I was in New York watching it. At that point, I was thinking they're gonna win this is so bad the way this season's gone. They're gonna win the champion. You know, there was a lot of tightrope moments where you think if they just beat Nottingham Forest after that beating winning City and West Ham, they're suddenly in that mix. If they just beat Bournemouth after they smashed Manchester United, they're right back in there, and they weren't that far away, and you just don't want them to leave themselves in that position where they think, oh, they weren't that far away again this season. You want them to sort of do everything they can to be in that position of, actually, we've really sort of, you know, put ourselves out there as having enough.
Absolutely. To wrap up then, there's two names there now, obviously. Liverpool have made contact with both. Bids for one, reported bids or contact with the other. You would guess the Lavia one feels like it's more, I don't know, solid, not the right way, but like maybe more advanced, more advanced, likely. Yeah. More likely, you would say Liverpool, if you said to me Liverpool are going to sign one of these lads, you would say Lavia feels more And it does, because by all accounts, there's another big going in. Which was that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, he's been trailed for a long time, hasn't he? As a Liverpool signing, yeah, two bids in for the player. You know, that's, yeah, of course. I think he's a priority target, if you want to use the modern parlance.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think it's interesting. I'm completely with. I see all the comments. I get them on my page, and anxiety around transfers. I think the interesting thing for me is it's not necessarily the players that Liverpool are being linked with. Maybe there was a little bit when it was sort of, you know, Amrabat and Phillips and whoever, but I don't see too much anxiety about not Lavia or not Andre. It's almost just, okay, if that's who you want, just get them. You know, yeah. it's more the sort of, you trust Liverpool's eye for a player, and you trust Liverpool's sort of, you know, what Klopp can do with a player once he's in, but you just want them to get it done, and ideally soon. I mean, I think Chelsea's a bit of an outlier, because I think the team will be not far away from what we've seen in pre-season in the last couple of games, probably Konate in for Matip. I actually think that might be the team,
yep.
That we saw start yesterday, bar Konate for Matip. But then you've obviously got different needs and different sort of demands for Bournemouth at home. So you've sort of got probably a couple of weeks really to, you know, to try and get everything in order. But really, ideally, you want to have it done before the ball's been kicked in the Premier League. And I hope Liverpool do at least have one, if not two or three.
Thanks, as ever, for Neil, for coming in for that one, for his amazing insights. Each and every week, that show airs twice a week as well. So yeah, get over to redmenplus.com, check out JNO Insights and all of those other amazing shows in full. You can watch them on video, or you can download them into your native podcast apps as podcasts and get yourselves involved. That way, if you're on Spotify and you only listen to podcasts on Spotify and you want to sign up through there, if you just search for Redmen Plus Podcasts on the Spotify app, you can subscribe through those. Now, that won't give you access to the video content or any of the stuff on the website, but it will give you all the shows in audio form. So if you love Spotify and want to do it that way, that option is there for you. Thanks very much for listening to this episode of Red Men Weekly. You guys are the best. See you in a bit.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.